take the liberty as the chairman of the committee to explain to the people interested why I think we are here and what points I'm interested in hearing. And my colleagues may want to augment my statement with comments of their own so that people who anticipate testimony can relate to what our interest is and not feel compelled to tread ground that we've already walked over. We had this similar issue in the 1983 session, and I was pleased at that time to make sure that this committee expedited the treatment of that bill so that the proponents could have their day on the floor of the Senate. And the bill was vetoed by Governor Sheffield. My own feelings about the bill, whatever that's worth, were that the bill was not particularly objectionable to me, except for provisions governing the pre-elementary school age group, and those issues were never resolved, and they still are in my mind. But otherwise, so far as this chairman is concerned, the bill was not objectionable. We know that one of the issues presented to the governor by the Attorney General was the alleged discrimination, if you will, between private sectarian schools and other institutions. And that led to the suggestion that legislation be prepared that provided certain exemptions for all private schools, religious and other schools, desiring those exemptions. Again, speaking personally, because this matter has been in the Judiciary Committee, I'm not concerned with the constitutional question. I understand that today someone in the House Committee was asked why the Senate Defense Committee wanted the bill, and the response was that because I'm an attorney, I have weird interests. I hope I don't have weird interests, but I certainly don't have any compelling need as a lawyer or a legislator to go over or second-guess Mr. Gorsuch's opinions or the Judiciary Committee's findings on constitutionality. I would appreciate it if it would not go into that issue for my benefit, because I'm satisfied that the constitutional question has been reached. And indeed, I was not concerned with the constitutional question last year and do not necessarily agree with the Attorney General's view that the bill had constitutional infirmities as it was drafted in 1983. Also, I'm advised that some people who are going to testify or offer themselves for testimony hope to leave Juneau today, and to accommodate them, if they can, I would ask that they be heard first. I would also ask for a kind of voluntary agreement to limit each witness to 5 or 6 minutes of testimony so that all people can be heard. I think in 83, when we took this matter up, we had some witnesses who were very helpful, but the length of their testimony may have precluded others from being heard who should have been heard or who wanted to be heard. I have nothing else. I could point out a few provisions I will be asking questions about, but perhaps we can do that in the setting of witnesses. So let me see. The witnesses that I have had expressions from are Susan Clark and Dr. who's a Juneau person, and Dr. Fadell, I believe, from Portland, Oregon, would be the first out-of-towner. Is he here? Sir, would you like to come forward and be here? And good afternoon. I see that you represent ASCI, and I confess I'm not certain what that is, so you help me with that. Fine.
My name is Eugene Fadell. I'm the director of the Northwest Region of the Association of Christian Schools International, ACSI. We have 34 member schools in Alaska.
With how many?
34, with a combined enrollment of about 3,077 students. I'm here in Juneau today for the express purpose of expressing our strong support for the Senate Bill 354. Of the 34 schools, member schools in Alaska, 27 are operated by a local church, and the remainder are independently owned and operated. They're all maybe described as evangelical fundamental Christian schools that are in existence for the primary purpose of training our young people according to the teachings of the Bible. Christian principles which it contains are interwoven as an integral part in every subject and activity of the school. While the prime purpose of our schools is religious in nature, our schools typically have strong academic programs with high standards. This is evidenced by the fact that across the United States, test scores for ACSI school students on the annually administered standardized achievement tests average 1 year ahead of those for the public schools on the same test. We believe that the Bible teaches very definitely that human government has been ordained of God and has been given rights and responsibilities for the protection and care of its citizens. Consequently, we are instructed in the Bible to respect, to obey, and to pray for those in authority over us. And this we do and instruct and train our students accordingly. However, the prime responsibility for the education of our children has been reserved for and assigned to the parents rather than to the state. And this places an awesome responsibility upon you men, the government, for providing and protecting the freedom of parents to educate their children according to the dictates of their conscience, while at the same time assuring that the health, safety, and basic educational standards are met and maintained. Members of the Alaska Senate are to be applauded for the careful, thorough construction of Senate Bill 354 that fulfills these two basic responsibilities of government. We therefore urge that Senate Bill 354 be passed as it is now written without changes or amendments. And in so doing, this body will gain the appreciation of the parents of our Christian schools throughout Alaska. All of us are greatly disturbed by the confrontations that are taking place in states between churches, schools, and state. In at least one state, this confrontation has resulted in the padlocking of church doors and prison sentences being imposed upon pastors and parents. Thoughtful, adequate legislation could and would avoid such confrontations and would save everyone involved much misery and anguish, in addition to thousands of dollars and valuable time involved in court cases and trials. We believe that Senate Bill 354 is a well-balanced bill in which Christian schools and parents are permitted to have the freedom to operate unshackled by needless government interference and regulations, but at the same time provides protection and assurance to parents that their children are receiving an adequate education in a safe facility. So we strongly urge this committee to enthusiastically support and unanimously pass Senate Bill 354.
Doctor, let me just ask a couple of questions. First, which states do you have familiarity with in terms of your own professional work?
The states, the Northwest region that I'm director of, include Alaska, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Wyoming, and Montana.
And do any of our sister states in that region have legislation similar to this?
The closest that I think would come to would be the state of Oregon. The state of Oregon has specifically in its legislation that the state is not allowed to license a school. They have a program by which if a private school chooses, it may register with the state and then meet the requirements. But the law specifically says that teachers in the state of Oregon are not required to have a state certificate, and if the school wishes to register, it may.
So it would be analogous to what is proposed here?
Yes, it is somewhat analogous to
both
it.
For sectarian and non-sectarian private schools.
Yes, right.
Now, I ought to have said in my preliminary comment that one of the reasons why I desired to have this hearing was because the deference to the role of the parent that you described, it seems to me, if any committee has a responsibility to children, it's the Health, Education, Social Service Committee. And I have, as a question of conscience, but it's alterable. Sometimes my conscience is too alterable. But, some apprehension that a private school, not like those in your association, could be opened by someone, not even religiously affiliated, which would not serve children well, but which would be exempt from any type of meaningful regulation by the state. Do you have any? Can you give me any reassurance as to why I would be wrong in that regard?
I think in this bill you have reserved for the state the control as far as the basic educational requirements, so that the parents then will be able to determine if the adequate job is being done in the school. In other words, test results are available to the parents. Also, you have the protection as far as the health and the sanitary and fire codes and so on. So that kind of protection is still being given by the state. responsibility for the education of the children belongs to the parents, isn't it? From that point on, I believe it is the parents' responsibility to determine if their children are receiving an adequate education. And I believe that they are intelligent enough to check if they have those test scores available so they can determine if the school is doing the job that they feel is adequate for the parent. And I believe that free enterprise at that point enters, and if they're not getting the program that is good, they can go to another school.
Thank you, Dr. Pick. This is Senator Halford.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Doctor, I've got one question that bothers me somewhat, although I'm a co-sponsor of this bill, and I certainly think it goes a long way in the right direction, but I still am a little bit uncomfortable with a school providing a report directly to the state. It would appear that that report could go through the parent and provide exactly the same benefits and knowledge, but not be made by a church reporting to the state. And in about three or four sections, it's almost a simple technical change that would avoid that connection. I wonder what you feel about that.
We have no objection. As far as I'm concerned, I think that would be fine if they would want to do it. There'd be less control by the state.
Well, it's the same level of control. It's a matter of where the state gets the information to exercise the control.
If the state was satisfied they could get it through the parent, I think that personally I feel that would be better.
I think we had some testimony about this from a religious school in June of last year. It does pose an interesting philosophical problem because we do, as we try to limit the role of the state, create, as Senator Halford says, this kind of reporting relationship that hasn't existed before, if I am correct. I mean, philosophically, as a matter of principle, I would be concerned about where that would be carried in some other event or something.
I think philosophically, the less control that the state can take of the school, or the private schools, and the more control that the parent can take, the better off it is. And so we would have no objection.
Senator Victor Fisher of Anchorage.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Bell, one of the issues that was covered in testimony last year by persons affiliated with Christian schools was the argument, the fact, I guess, that these are bona fide educational establishments. These are not pseudo daycare centers. They perform a teaching function. Last year I was bothered by the fact that to my mind, there was a constitutional issue. I asked various people who testified about the question of including private schools. The argument was, leave it alone, this is the bill we want, this is the bill they got, this was the bill that was vetoed. I'm glad to see that issue is resolved here. But now we have private schools where, the senator, I have some questions about the possibility of abuse. And one of the possibilities that has been talked about is defining what is meant by preschool. Pre-elementary school. Now, in the pre-elementary schools that you're associated with, I gather that the time of instruction is supposed to be something like 2.5-3 hours or so, and it's not a full daycare center.
That is up to the individual school. Quite frequently, the individual preschool will have a morning session, an afternoon session, or a full day session, and it's up to the parent to take. And obviously, the difference between the preschool and the daycare is that the preschool has a prescribed curriculum and a planning and attendance regularly, rather than just come leave your children when you feel like it and so on. But the length of time for the child to be in that school varies, and we feel that should have the freedom to do that, whether it's 2 hours, 4 hours, or a full day.
You see, we have separate legislation dealing with daycare.
Yes.
Which requires a different kind of a supervisor-child children ratio. Whereas in a school, you may have one teacher for 20 students. In a daycare center, you may have, I don't know, like one for six or whatever, because it's a totally different kind of a relationship. functioning institutions, I would feel much more comfortable if we could put in a clear definition that would sort of draw a line between daycare and pre-elementary schooling. So that not changing the status of daycare at all, but just making sure that a school that would be, in effect, covered under this act or exempt under this act could then come in, or that a daycare center could be established under the guise of a private school and get out from under regulation.
If I might, if you could just augment that, we are trying by this bill, or the sponsors are trying to avoid what some contended was a constitutional problem. I could see another one being created inadvertently if some daycare centers were regulated for all purposes and others claimed exemption on the theory that they were private schools and we had not provided a definition to create the difference. And this concerns me particularly because following your testimony about the parents' ability to make the judgment based on national tests, test scores, of course there would not appear to be test scores the parent would get for a three-year-old or a four-year-old, so that data isn't there to make that judgment. And so I agree that this was the area that bothered me last year, and now that we are opening it up to the whole private school world, well beyond the parochially attached school, it's even a greater concern.
This problem distinction between daycare and preschool is one that is common to many states, and I believe that you can come to a definition that would make the distinction between them, but I believe that it should be on grounds other than 4 hours or 3 hours a day and so on. Preschool has a definite curriculum. Attendance is required. Tuition is paid by the month or by the year, not according to simply the days that they want to come. It's not just a voluntary attendance thing from that standpoint. So I believe that you could make the distinction between the two without getting into even to the hours.
Does the Oregon law contain definitions?
No, not very clearly on that, I'm afraid.
But
they have the same problem there.
From your standpoint, you would see nothing obnoxious in including that kind of a definition. Something reasonable. Let's say an acceptable definition that would separate one from the other.
But I don't believe that the 4 hours a day or 3 hours a day would be the issue.
Thank you.
Does any other committee member have a question for Dr. Fado? Appreciate your coming from Oregon.
Thank you very much.
The next out-of-state person is Dr. Al Janar, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, from Jacksonville, Florida, representing the American Association of Christian School of Mission. Did I pronounce your name correctly?
Jenny. J-A-N-N-E-Y.
I'm sorry. J-A-N-N-E-Y. Dr. Jenny, we appreciate your time to Alaska.
Thanks.
Please proceed.
I have given some consideration to this particular hearing in view of the national scene. And the thing that is encouraging to me is that you are working on trying to get some legislation passed. As far as the specifics of the bill is concerned, I'll not get into that unless you just want some questions answered, but I am here to say several things to you, that in many states of the country, we have bills that have been passed that have gone from totally exempting religious schools to bills that are similar to the one that you have here. And the fact that you are moving forward in this is encouraging because the states where we have not been able to get bills passed of this nature wind up in litigation in court, wind up in confrontations, such as they're having in Nebraska at this particular time. And I think the fact that you are making this kind of move is extremely valuable. I'm trying to conserve my remarks so that I'm looking at it from a national perspective, and I think that it is essential that you go forward with this kind of legislation so that there is the lack of perhaps maybe the controls and so forth that could have been exercised in times past or could be exercised if this provision is not made available to the schools. So I'd like to commend you for what you're doing. It sounds to me like that the bill in its general perspective will accomplish that, and I'd like to commend you for it. I'd like to encourage you to pass the bill and get something on the road, because if we don't, the possibilities of confrontation continue to loom high on the horizon all over the country.
You can speak longer for 5 minutes as long as you're committed.
You see, not being from Alaska, I'm not going to get into all of the particulars of the bill because I do know this, that in the states where we have been able to meet together with the legislature and we've been able to work these things out legislatively, we haven't had to try to do it with litigation. Litigation is extremely expensive, it's time-consuming, doesn't benefit anybody. And in states where they have tried to regulate the schools, and we have gone to court, the federal judges and the state judges, and most of the time overturn those laws and rules. So the fact that you can give these schools this kind of freedom and so forth is commendable. And I urge you not to get bogged down with trying to take care of every particular problem that could possibly be brought up, but to get the general concept over with, and then it's easier to fine-tune it than it is to have nothing until you get it fine-tuned.
Any questions, Director Chan? If not, we appreciate your appearance.
Thanks.
Mr. Tim Ewell for the Personal Liberties Committee.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I stand in support of this bill. I've heard the testimony here today about the reporting procedures as pertains to the whether the parent or the school should be the reporting party. And I have to agree that if it were possible to make it without hindering the progress of this bill, to make it so that it were the parents that were doing reporting and not the churches, I believe that would be a better solution, as Mr. Alford mentioned. But addressing the preschool issue, I find a couple things of importance that we seem to overlook. I've had occasion to look at some other pending legislation here submitted by a committee, and there was something in there that disturbed me, and I want to present this for your consideration. It seems that that not this committee, of course, but other committees and bodies that get together sometimes get a mindset that they know better than society in general. And the one I'm referring to in particular reads something like it has to do with regulating non-profit corporations. And it has an introductory letter that says these organizations are being altruistic and so on and so forth, that and covered with, and there's greed associated with them and so on and so forth, that we're going to have to look out for the people because the people are not going to be able to look out for themselves. In particular, it says something like the general man on the street would tend to get very excited if this didn't happen, if that didn't happen. Gentlemen, I believe that the point of this is we seem to take away from the thought that the parents have an overwhelming ability on their own to determine what is right for their own children. And when we start determining for them what is a legitimate preschool and what is a legitimate program for them to attend, then we are taking away from the parent the responsibility. And we also have free market enterprises entering in. They have alternate choices that they can make within the free enterprise. If they find that this preschool or daycare is not meeting the requirements that they feel it should meet, then they can find another one that does. But certainly the parent has the overall regulating capability here because he will see his child, he or she will see his child, on a day-to-day basis and will know whether or not that program is truly working. And I feel that they are much better inspectors than any state agency could ever be. That's the essence of my testimony.
By that would suggest that I suppose the public school is doing an outstanding job since most parents keep their children in public school.
I would suggest that that a lot of parents today who feel that give their children over to the public schools maybe are perhaps not fulfilling their responsibility to the degree that I think they should.
But
now, that's my particular opinion.
You have the opinion, I don't want to belabor this, but if we're going to respect the parents' views because they're parents, we have to be consistent about it.
That's right. And if they want to send them to public school, that's fine.
Now, do you have any concern, this is an interesting possibility, I think, that if and when this bill becomes law, someone could establish a private school, opt to be regulated by the state, and advertise that my private school is the only one in this market that is fully accredited,
and fully licensed by the state and other private schools are not. Do you find anything insidious in that possibility as far as its effect on religious schools?
No, I don't. Religious schools are not in the business to make a profit. They're in the business of providing a ministry to the people of the community, to the people of the church. And as such, the people who come into those schools, it's not a profit-seeking business. You're not going out looking for the business. You're providing a service. If the people choose to use it, that's fine. If somebody else wants to advertise licensure and that sort of thing, that's fine for them to do.
Okay. Any other questions, Mr. Newman? Mr. Senator Brown?
I guess the only way to do it is just ask the question very directly. Do you believe it's a violation of the separation of church and state to have the church school making any reports directly to the state?
Yes.
And yet, you're willing to say that this bill as drafted is okay because it's better than the potential status quo?
That's what I'm saying. But from a constitutional perspective, gentlemen, there is a great deal of law on the books right now that doesn't address a constitutional perspective that is totally unconstitutional, and of which I didn't find a lot of lawyers that will agree with that.
None of that came out of this committee, though.
That's probably true, Mr. Chairman. But that's the...
I would think it would also strengthen the tie that you talked about, the tie of parent to the student, which seems to be very strong in the private schools. If all the reports that were required of the school were made through the parent not only had the reports on their own child, but basically the state could require of a parent to meet the mandatory education law a number of reports that the parent would in turn require of the school. But it's a matter of the vehicle through which you receive it. But in going through the parent would also have a lot more information about the school in general, about the scores of the school in general, about the performance of the school in general, if he were the vehicle making the report.
Let me ask this, though. Would there be a practical problem with enforcement if you had to put a burden on every parent to comply? And what would be the sanction if a parent disregarded it? How would you ever... That's the next thing.
The sanction is the truancy law, and the fact that the parent passes it on doesn't necessarily mean that it's anything difficult to do, because instead of making the report to the state, the school makes the report to the parent, and in the package which the parent proves educational attendance to the state with, he simply includes the report from the school.
Sorry.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to say that I fully agree with the logic that Senator Halford's comments. I hope that parents wouldn't be harassed in a situation like that, but above all, I want to assure you, Tim, that if we discuss amendments here, they're not designed to delay the bill. This bill is going to move.
Oh, no, well, I understand.
I think that any discussion of this change or any others are designed to improve the future rather than delay it in any way at all.
I certainly appreciate that.
I concur with Senator Halford in principle. I think the business of having churches file reports with any bureaucracy
I wish you'd put the
where the reports relate to the educational component.
Yes, certainly.
I don't feel that way about fresh air and heating in that schoolroom, but I feel that way about the content of the educational program.
Just by example, if you look at the text. But the last thing says, the chief administrative officer elects to comply shall certify under oath to the department. All it has to say is certify under oath to the parent. They're still certifying under oath. It still has the same effect. The reports, each school shall make composite test results of the school available annually to the authorized representative of the department. If it says to each parent, and then the Department of Education requires those test reports to be part of the enrollment of the student.
I have no problem.
Each of those things, it's almost a technical thing that you could do in this bill in about five places, and it would accomplish the whole thing.
I would consider that.
Let me ask you about this important matter. I think it's important, of the daycare pre-elementary school.
Yes.
How would you? I take it you would address it by meeting alone.
Yes. I'm very hopelessly a capitalistic free enterprise person. Now this goes beyond capitalism. We're looking at. Taking care, we have an interest in what happens with the children in our community. Are they going to be well cared for? But the problem here is, who is going to be particularly great at safety and welfare of children. They don't have a great record. However, parents do. Parents, on a whole, now there are exceptions, just like in some situations, but on the whole, the parents do care for their children and will see to it that they are placed in the proper environment and will oversee that environment.
I think there are a lot of exceptions, and unfortunately, sadly, there seem to be a lot of exceptions. And the concern, it's a personal concern, I suppose, I think Senator Fisher has expressed it too, is over these three-year-olds and four-year-olds who are not being tested by national support, left essentially in a facility that it does not really have an educational program except for nominal. And I'm also concerned about the other problem of some daycare facilities that say we are daycare facilities, not educational institutions, and who therefore will be rather closely regulated, and others who will do the same thing and say we're an educational institution and claim exemption. Now, maybe those are issues you haven't.
I'd like to defer a little bit of that to Pastor Carney. Okay. He can answer that.
And I apologize, Pastor Carney, because you were next on my list, and I omitted calling you earlier, but we'll get to you next. Thank you very much. Pastor Carney? Of the Harvester Christian Academy, and I know when you were here last year, you explained that you do have some pre-elementary students at Harvester, so maybe this is really up your alley to talk about.
Well, let me back up for just a little bit, if I could, to say that when you try to define the difference between a child care center and a pre-elementary school program, I think you're going to find it a lot easier to do that on the basis of money than you are on hours per day or on some other criteria. Child care centers statewide have children. A good portion of their income is on subsidy from the government. And that, to my knowledge, is not true of the private schools. I think you find it a lot easier to make a definition on that point.
Does the subsidy go to the parent or to the institution?
Maybe it goes to the institution. Maybe someone can clarify that, but that's my impression at this point. And none of the schools that are endeavoring to see Senate Bill 354 passed, to my knowledge or information, receive any government funding in their program. And I think that makes a great difference immediately on whether it's a lucrative issue or not. You're referencing a possible situation where a center would be started or a school would be started and try to escape child care regulations, which are, in my opinion, very onerous, very definitely difficult to fulfill for an average parent to be able to pay the tab. This is one reason why it's so heavily subsidized and that child care center fee structures are double or higher than a pre-elementary school or a pre-elementary school program. So I think you're going to find there's a dollar thing that's a lot easier to separate out than a time factor. Speaking of time factors at our school, we have no three-year-old children in our school. We give parents of four-year-old children the option of half day or full day. And the same thing with the five-year-old program, half day or full day. So parents really do have a choice in our particular setting. That may not be true at all. But I thought it was interesting this last year, all of the parents that put five-year-old children in our school elected the full-day program. One half of the four-year-old children elected that. Then this current school year, it's interesting that all four-year-old children and all five-year-old children are going full-day at their parents' wishes. So in our school, we do provide that option to parents.
I would like to... excuse me, but if I had a four-year-old child, which is an issue I may face someday, what would I expect the child to receive in an educational sense, in terms of educational content, if I brought the child to you at 8 in the morning and said, I'll be back at 5 in the afternoon? Well, first of all, we wouldn't keep your child till 5 in the afternoon, because in our particular setting, we are very specific that our school is from 8:30 to 3:30, and a parent must pick up a child at 3:30. If they ask to remain beyond that, we very clearly tell them, either if it's an inquiry call or an existing family, our structure, that we do not have a daycare center that would put us under a complete different set of regulations. They must pick up a child.
Would you be under the regulations even though you get no money from the state?
If you accepted a child from 8 in the morning until 5 in the afternoon, but still required the parent to bear all the costs, to require private sources to bear all the costs, because you're getting endowments, I suppose.
It'd be nice if we did.
Would say that we would be under daycare because we do not have an educational program beyond 3:30 in the afternoon. And if I am just having a staff basically babysit and supervise the children, and it's not a school setting, I cannot honestly look you in the eye and say that I have a school program that runs till 5 o'clock.
So, well, now maybe what you're saying is very important and very reassuring. You're saying that your interpretation of Bill is that if the institution, during any significant portion of the day, an hour and a half of the day, is not purporting to provide or in fact providing a curriculum or an educational program, it could be treated as a daycare center, whether it receives money or not.
It's interesting further that most of the schools, I can't think of any exceptions there may be, but most of these schools not only have kindergarten, but they go right on up and take, you know, grade school and so on. So in the public school system, like for instance grades 1 through 6, they had a kindergarten portion. It was always considered part of the school. It was never considered something akin to child care or something of that nature. And the schools that are applying for understanding under Senate Bill 354, all those that I represent 34 schools here this afternoon, they have, in fact, a complete elementary school along with it, so it is not a guise for a child care center.
And as Senator Fisher, Pastor Carney's experience or opinion is that under 354, following your question to Dr. Janney, that if a parent brought a child of age 4, let's say, to the institution at the start of the parent's work day and said, I'll be back at the end of my work day to pick up my child, the institution could not claim to be a pre-elementary school for exemption purposes under this bill unless throughout the day education is offered. And since education stops at 3 or 3:30 in the afternoon, it would not be a pre-elementary school. It would be a daycare center.
Right. Tell parents
Mr. Chairman, if that is my understanding of what these schools are like and that they're bona fide pre-elementary schools, and I just want to make sure that others don't sort of sneak in under the tent.
What I'm thinking about is to handle that by a committee report in terms of legislative history.
We could do it if that could be done, or just a definition somewhere, simply saying, you know, sort of making it very clear that we're dealing with elementary and we're dealing with schools in pre-elementary, but not daycare, which is covered by Alaska statute such and such.
I might point out that last spring, when the Department of Health and Social Service testified in this committee, at that time, when I spoke to the department head, sorry, I don't recall the gentleman's name, but they were willing to concede that if a school had an elementary school program, that the kindergarten attached to that elementary school program would be actually exempted out from the, you know, from their other regulations.
Now, that's the other point that Senator Halpert was interested in.
That may be another definition.
I could not. Your understanding would be, I guess, under either present practice or the bill, I could not provide at my home services to 3- and 4-year-olds and call myself a pre-elementary school unless I also had a bona fide educational program at grade K through something, 3 or 2 or something.
I think that might help clarify if you put a stipulation in there. That's going to be, I would much prefer a stipulation like that instead of an obvious stipulation. I think, quite frankly, one of the issues here, though it's been unspoken, is the Montessori school. Mrs. Green's talking about Montessori school. Mrs. Green has indicated that she does have an educational program that runs past 3:30 in the afternoon. The school has been in existence since the 1950s. I don't know how many hundreds of people have gone through her school.
My child, my oldest child.
Okay, so I would just simply point out that there are some programs that go beyond 3:30 in the afternoon that do claim of actual educational circumstance. And of course, she does have up through grade 6 or 7 in her school. So she also won a court case here in Alaska on this issue because the court or the prosecutor was not able to show at that time there was any rationale for a program less than 4 hours, that you couldn't just limit the Montessori school to a 4-hour program. I guess was the crux of the issue. So she's already won a court case on this issue. And I could say I would really urge you to resist any limitation of like 4 hours and under as being the definition for a pre-elementary school. I think that's a better way to do it.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not wedded to any hourly figure, anything like that. I think your approach probably makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, I think there are some here that are waiting to testify that probably will be speaking to the hourly person.
not to do that. If I could speak to just a couple of items, I know that you asked for a time limit, so perhaps I can question you, so I'm okay. All right, let me ask what we're here for. There are several also that have made an issue about the fact that, you know, who's going to be in charge of these children? Will they, in fact, be safe and so on? Will their physical needs be met? I would kindly point out that Section 7 on page 2 very specifically indicates that there will be regulations after consultation with the state fire marshal, the state sanitarium, and so on, standards that will ensure healthful and safe conditions in the public and private schools of the state, including a requirement of physical exams and immunizations in private pre-elementary schools. Now, that's not saying that that's all that's going to happen, or just physical exams and immunizations. My understanding, that sentence was specifically included because it's not mandated now, perhaps somewhere else in law. Speaking to the health and physical safety issues, I would also point out that on page 5, lines 15 through 19, once again, very specifically make it clear that the physical well-being of these children are, you know, adequately spoken to. There's some that testified in the House this afternoon, or some of the representatives had some question about whether they really were protected. But they are.
What line were you looking at?
The second
19 and 20.
15 through 19. But especially the 18 and 19 of page 5, that while we may be exempt from certain things dealing with education, we are not exempt from regulations or law.
Regulation or requirement, or not just fire-related, but maybe fresh air, oxygen.
I would assume so. See, at the schools I represent, I don't know of any that really take an offense to these issues, at least of the 34 groups that I represent.
By the way, those would be in addition to Harvester, which we have, the other school issues.
Oh, yes. Right. I'm the Alaska representative of the Association of Christian Schools International. There is a second large Christian school organization in this state, the Alaska Association of Christian Schools, which is affiliated with Dr. Jenny's American Association of Christian Schools. So there are two large organizations in our state serving the diverse population.
It's really ACSI, not ASCI.
That's correct. ACSI, and then Dr. Jenny was representing the AACS, the American Association of Christian Schools. I'd like to also point out another small amendment that I think would be very helpful in the bill on page 5, line 23. In response to the Department of Education's desire that there be something in this bill that would protect the compulsory attendance law, we came up with this idea of the parents notifying the local school superintendent if their child is in fact not attending a public school. But I would like to suggest a four-word amendment after the word child on line 23. It will save everybody a lot of paperwork, because if you wrote it, shall file an annual notice of enrollment in the school for the child, and then by amendment of compulsory school age. You see, right now there is no compulsory law that has to be met for children ages 3, 4, and 5. There is no reason that these parents should be burdened with having to notify the local public school, and there is no law saying that it's even necessary to be in school. That little four-word amendment would save the local school district a lot of time and trouble, parents a lot of time and trouble, and frankly, us a lot of time and trouble. I was talking with a gentleman at the House Desk Committee from the Association of Leaders and Secondary School Principals of some of my public school organization. Perhaps he'll be here testifying in this committee that they certainly supported that amendment from the public school viewpoint, that they don't want the paperwork either, but he's not sure. That's the only thing I would suggest, other than just simply pass the bill. Unless you have any other specific questions or comments. Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to just make one personal comment, if I might, prior to departing. We've been asking some of the different people testifying this afternoon about the parents reporting all of these reports, whether that was a constitutional issue, some of these things. I'll just simply say that it's my personal observation and belief that if this were changed from the way the bill is currently worded, though I'm sympathetic to such a change, and believe that it's even more in keeping with the entire issue. I personally believe that it would give the administration a perfect opportunity to veto the new bill. And I'm very concerned about that.
I understand that the bill is the product of some negotiations between the proponents and those who advised the government to veto the bill in 1983, and that some, it comes to us as the
is there a compelling state interest to obtain test scores when there is no state authority to do anything about test scores, regardless of what they are? What is the what is the political rationale for that, or the constitutional rationale for the court of those test scores?
Well, the rationale here is to make sure that, in fact, that the schools are making available to the parent some basis on which the parent can make a rational determination. That's really the rationale.
That's fine. There isn't any problem at all with that. Then the score should be available to the parents of the individual student and require that they make available to the parents also a composite of the schools to know what kind of job their school is doing.
That's in fact his bill.
Right. But why does it need to be to the state? The state has no power to do it. It's the parents that have the power to do something about it and have the first line of basic interest. And yet there's an entanglement with government that's unnecessary if they're ready to go.
Well, I would tend to agree with you that it would be really the ultimate type of legislation in this area with respect to private and parochial and church schools would be the kind that Oregon has, in which you have no state regulation at all. That would be the perfect of all worlds with respect to religious and private schools. The fact is, we do not have that.
What you're saying really is that you're not disagreeing with us in terms of theory or principle.
Right.
You're saying that pragmatically, this is where it came down. You would like the legislature to ratify that.
Pragmatically, this is where it came down, and it is not unconstitutional what has occurred, and that's really what the bottom line is. Also, in addition, I'd like to address the other issue, which is the one that's bothering you, Senator Joseph, is the preschool area. I'd like to first state that with respect to health and safety, immunizations, all those things, there is no question that this legislation does not affect program preschool, and a three-year-old will be in that program for 10 hours a day, and it will be called school.
I get confused here because we just had an education symposium for Dr. Gordon Graham that was saying that school, quote unquote, should begin at age 4. That would wait too long, for example. We've heard that in Japan or other countries that is really bad.
There's a big debate
dated January 18.
Right.
Just showing how it could function with a parent. As I say, the purpose is beautiful, especially with the committee substitute out of judiciary. The problem I have is the parent is, as I keep hearing it, I hear from the individuals from the two major associations of Christian schools, which we belong to neither one, and now I know why. Better use of our little bit of funds that we have in paying dues is that the parents are responsible. And individually, I've gone around and I've talked with over half the senators or their staffs. I've talked to a number of representatives, and except for two senators, one who wrote me a letter and said that they will decide based on what the level of autonomy that our church will have based on a level that's acceptable to them. That was one senator, and the other senator is basically saying parents don't have a constitutional responsibility to educate their child. Other than that, everybody else seems to want to recognize that they don't want to have the church and state intertwine any more than necessary. And that, yes, the parent is primarily responsible. And then there's the compelling interest of the state after the parent has fallen short of their responsibilities. And you talk to individual supporters of this bill, and individually they all say, yes, this is what we would prefer. But all of them are to the point of saying, well, this is what we can get through, and what I see is a situation where a bill is going through, and it's going through, and yet it's not the best bill. Because I personally would say that it is a constitutional problem because of the fact that there's an excessive burden and entanglement placed on the church in a subordinating position to the state, that instead of that, it could be done through the parents. And all other areas of child's life, and have speaking as a former intake officer of juvenile courts from South Carolina, in all other areas of the child's life, the parent is the one who is first and foremost responsible. And now all of a sudden, the state of Alaska is saying church schools are going to have to file these reports and submit themselves to the authority of the state and take an oath to the Commissioner of Education that these records are being fulfilled. And I don't care what in the world people say, but when it talks about on page 5 and 6, the bottom line is the school shall notify the local public school superintendent within a reasonable amount of time. Last year it was immediately, so it's nicer now. The principal is still violated. If the child is no longer enrolled in or attending, and I've heard say, well, that just means that when he's no longer enrolled. No, it says when he is no longer enrolled in or attending the school. I am becoming a truant officer, notifying the local superintendent when that child is no longer attending. And I have a problem with that when I have to, I shall do it, which means there is a consequence if I don't. This bill is set up so that you have a choice between the pan and the fire. If you choose to take the exemption, you're going to file reports to DOE. If you don't choose to take the exemption, then you're totally under DOE.
And how do you feel about the administration of the test?
I tell you, I would publish, if I could do it, I'd publish our test results every year in the newspaper, and just, I'd love it.
No, I understand that, but I mean, as a matter of religious or constitutional principle,
okay, when I see the state saying the school shows this, 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 and this, and we are operating a ministry of an education of parents, we started off with preschool, and we were doing such, and we only operate half days, but I don't want to get into that issue. And we started, and the parents came to us and said, we were doing such a fine job in preschool, please expand. And as a service to the parents, we really felt God's leading in this, and we expanded. We're now up through the eighth grade, and we're adding on every year. And the parents ask us to meet their biblical obligations of training the child. That's where the responsibility lies. And in all other issues, Christians stand on the Bible. But when it comes down to this one, they're willing to shift it off to a Christian school. And biblically, it will rest with the parent. It does not rest with the Christian school. And so they come to us and they say, please serve us. Now, we do not have any fixed tuition. We have some children who I know their parents aren't paying anything, and that they're getting a good education. We give SRA tests at every grade, every year. We're proud of our course of program because we're called to the higher standards possible. And that's not DOE, that's God. And then when it comes down to it, if a parent has to show the state that they are meeting their obligations under the compulsory school law, or whatever, that it gives you the different ways you can meet your obligations. You know, a child shall be enrolled unless he's, you know, all the
we the system, I can see setting aside a parent night to help file out reports. And the sole reason this is being given to me as a thing of violating my First Amendment rights is the fact that it is too burdensome for DOE. They can't track people down as easily as they can single schools or individual schools. And I say my rights not be violated simply at the expense or the pleasure of a department of education, which, when it gets down to it, having worked in the public schools, do not track down their own kids. So if it's a matter of enforcement, the burden should not rest on the Christian school, who is usually understaffed and underpaid, but it should go back to the, between the parents and the state DOE, where the first and then the compelling interest lie. It doesn't rest with the Christian school.
In a sense,